This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the Brett and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network.
Six flights, $300. 24th to the 26th. Yeah, I'm just reading off a graphic, but there you can see it if you're just listening. Right here at Best Bet Jacksonville. Those are the highlights of the Stars and Stripes tournament coming up this weekend. Starts today, 12 p.m. and 6 p.m. Got a lot of folks already in. I don't know if they're in this tournament specifically or just playing, but bestbetjacks.com for more information on how you can get involved in all the events that go on. There's so many different events. I always have these fun conversations with the folks at Best Bet. I'm like, all right, so what you got? Well, hold on, I got to check the sheet. We got so many different things going on, whether it's today or tomorrow or next week or coming up in the summer, and we've been down to Best Bet St. Augustine a bunch, where they have the golf cart giveaway. We're up here at the final table. This is a great spot, which they built a few years ago here at Best Bet, and they televise these. As Austin was saying earlier, you can see the cards underneath, and it's a great spot.
Yeah.
For well lit, well done, well connected, and a great spot for some of the big events that they have. And I think that's one of the things I'm going to push to get on here. One of these final table events, we're going to get on our Action Sports Jax 24/7 network. We'll stream it so you can watch.
Yeah.
We'll watch the experts play.
Let's do it, man.
Or maybe we'll do like a charity one.
Well, yeah. I want to play too. Yeah, of course,
man. I did the charity one here just a couple months ago. Okay. That was my first foray into that.
And how'd that go for you?
Not very good for me, but I loved. You know what I loved? I loved being able to be like, go all in. It wasn't my money.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I mean, that was nice.
Better about that.
Now, I'd be way more conservative if it wasn't my money. I don't know about overly conservative. I'd probably be an aggressive poker player.
Okay.
Which is probably bad. You got to pick your spots.
You have to pick your spots, exactly.
Because the thing about, like, poker, if you're not, like, an expert, like I'm not,
don't
play it that
I'm not
often
either.
Or well,
yep.
Then I'm like, all right, I want that, like, I want to bluff you.
Sure.
Well, right?
See, when I play poker, I literally apply like my lessons I've learned, like watching like stare downs and face offs, like in a fight. Where like if I have a lot of chips in the pot and someone tries to talk to me, I'm not saying anything. Like I'm just like looking you right in the eye. I'm not telling you anything, and it's your job to see if I'm bluffing or if I'm telling the truth. So
there's a little bit of that fight stare down, isn't it?
Of course. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I'm some people want to wear shades and everything. Like, no, man, I'll look you dead in the eyes and say, you going to call me or not?
I like it. Hey, just to finish off our conversation on the quarterbacks that the Jags have had, this has probably gone longer than I thought it was going to go, but I'm fascinated by the discussion of the Bortles and the Gabberts specifically. But what about Trevor? I mean, was Trevor actually put in a pretty good situation outside of the Urban Meyer? We know that. That's hands down. That's not a good situation.
Yep.
But from a roster build standpoint, were they trying to put good things around him? Did he already have somewhat of a core and a nucleus to be able to build around?
I mean, he didn't have his one receiver. So I don't think he was in the best position to succeed.
Yeah, the only guy they had, they brought in ETN. With him, and of course that didn't work out either. That will probably be part of the story that goes right. He didn't have ETN that rookie year, and the way ETN's played, that's been a big deal.
Yep,
and obviously Urban.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. Like, I mean, they brought Marvin Jones in,
mm-hmm.
Jamal Agnew, but they didn't have. Yeah, they really just didn't have a lot for him.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have one receiver. Simple as that. So I don't think he had everything that he needed to succeed right away.
Now, what if they had brought him in 2022, just 1 year later? Now you have Doug Peterson. Now you have Christian Kirk. Now you, like, did the Jags, I guess, should we give them a little bit of credit for correcting that as quick as they did? They didn't wait the 3 years of Justin Fields in Chicago, say.
Yeah. But with Christian Kirk, like, did you know he was going to be the true one receiver? I didn't. You know, so like, yeah, like in retrospect, it was good. But at the time, we're saying, you know, well, a lot of people were saying that he may have got overpaid a little bit. And what exactly is he going to do in terms of elevating the quarterback play? Now, that all worked out and everything. He's Trevor Lawrence's favorite target. But it's almost like the DJ Moore effect in Chicago, where all right, you brought him in, and did you know what he was going to do, per se? Not really, but now you actually like what you see from DJ Moore.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so I mean, listen, we'll see if they continue to put Trevor in a good position. And if he can elevate everybody else, like that's the other side of it. What it looks like, and we brought this up, he's really along the lines of Drew Bledsoe right now. He had a miserable beginning.
Sure.
Or wasn't in a great spot.
Yep.
But might be on the other, might come out of it. I mean, and Bledsoe was able to do that in New England, given our, you know, that article that we were referencing.
Yeah.
And
now, don't jinx him with Mac Jones and Mac Jones being the next Tom Brady or anything, please.
Nah, but we'll take him going to a Super Bowl like Bledsoe did.
We will take him going to a Super Bowl.
And that would have been 3 years later. But no, 93, 94, 95. So it would have been 4 years.
Yeah. But now I think, like, listen, I think Trevor Lawrence has the wide receivers. You know, he has the one, I mean, whatever you can call it, 1A, 1B now with Christian Kirk and Brian Thomas Jr. And obviously Gabe Davis, I think, is going to be suitable enough as well. So you have the wide receivers, you have the tight end, you have the play calling, you have the coaching, you have the run game, you have the offensive line. So you have everything that you need now to succeed.
All right, another topic I got for you. We're seeing all this money in sports. We're seeing it at the collegiate level. We just got the NIL stuff or the settlement in the NCAA where now schools are going to be able to pay up to $20 million for athletes. Pay to play, amateurism is over. Like, it's done. Like, boom, just like that, done.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they had to do that, by the way, was just to save college athletics the way it is. They hope there are more parameters that get put in place, but they had to do it just to be able to save it or they were going to lose their house, essentially, in litigation. And the NCAA is just in a really bad spot. But it's the future now. Like, this is, we're here. You're going to pay players up to $20 million. It's going to be a big haves and have-nots, of course. We know that, especially when it comes to the Power Five and what Alabama can do versus what maybe, who knows, like a Wake Forest can do or will do.
Yeah.
It could be a lot different. I think you can also get a riser all of a sudden. It's going to be fascinating to watch the landscape of sports. You can be like, oh, that Rutgers hasn't been very good at all. Oh, wait a minute. Now they are, right? Because they've got some great backing, and they're going to go all in. Maybe that helps change it. Or maybe it evens the playing field if everybody's going at that $20 million mark. But I actually think about this more in the professional landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about it even from a Trevor point of view and all these quarterbacks' point of view. They're making $50 million a year, $45 million, $50 million, $55 million. Mm-hmm. When you do that, you get like Patrick Mahomes, and you're making a $500 million contract. And now you can go purchase teams and businesses and have all these different interests. We've seen it with LeBron James over the years, right? He's kind of grown the empire. And so my question is, what's the balance between being a businessman and playing the game that you love and building a legacy and all that for the reasons that you grew up playing the game? All these guys love playing the game.
For sure.
Most everybody. I mean, some people just realize they're really good at it and they're going to go make money. I get that. Most of these guys love playing the sport of football, love being around the locker room, love putting in the work, all those things.
Yep.
Do you think we're losing that, or does it flip at some point because of the business side?
No, I think it flips at some point. I think that you become the businessman when you can sacrifice some of your time and energy to do that. If you're Trevor Lawrence right now, your time and energy has to go into trying to be a top five quarterback. Once you accomplish that, once you are considered elite in the NFL, then, okay, you have to sustain that success. But now it's like, all right, I put the work in. I'm one of the best in the league right now. Now I can take my time, effort, and energy and put it someplace else. You hardly ever really see guys who are on the outside of that elite status want to go, all right, well, I'm pretty good. Time to go invest in some teams now. No, it's when guys are at the top of their games, when guys are considered elite, where then they can go, okay, I've accomplished this. Now it's time to focus a little bit of energy on investing.
Yeah. Are we going to get to a point where people, or do you think we already have, where people spend more time on that or get too locked into that than on the craft? And the reason I say that is because money talks, right? I mean, when you talk about this kind of money, it's hard not to get, there are some people get really wrapped up in the dollars of it. We talk about this basically with like LIV Golf. Do you think all those LIV golfers really want to be playing over there or on PGA Tour? I think most of them would rather be playing on the PGA Tour and in that landscape and what they can do with major golf and world rankings and all that stuff. But money talks, right? Well, kind of changes the way you view things.
Money talks, but also, like, they still get to play in the biggest tournaments in the world for LIV Golf. So, like, that lessens the blow a lot.
Like, yeah.
You still get to play in your sports Super Bowl. You still get to play in your sports biggest championship.
But there was curiosity whether you would be able to.
Sure.
There was not a lock. That was not a guarantee.
Yeah.
Well, and in some respects still isn't. But it's a different game. I mean, I think that just shows us that, okay, well, I'm making that point. There are some people that won't do it because of they want legacy and everything else on the tour.
Yeah.
It's natural. I think it's pretty natural to be like, hey, man, that's life-changing money, and I got to worry about this just as much as I got to worry about, you know, getting this lift in today.
No, exactly. And once again, it kind of falls down to, and every athlete's going to be different in terms of priorities, but I feel like the top of their games, the elites of the elites, are always worried about legacy and always worried about where they're going to stand in the record books. So there's always going to be a sense of focus in terms of mastering your craft and maintaining the craft that you're already at. I think there's, once again, maybe a smaller of the minority of elite athletes who get to a point where it's like, okay, I'm all good. Now I just want to collect a paycheck. And I think Conor McGregor falls in this category a little bit. I think Conor McGregor, when he was up and coming, obviously was hungry, was fighting 3, 4, or 5 times a year. Now he fights, you know, maybe once every 3, 4
years.
Don't get it twisted, though. It's the prize fighting game. The whole point of fighting is to make your money and then get out in one piece. So he's definitely done that. So I'm not faulting Conor McGregor for the career trajectory that he has taken. But also I think that, you know, the one percenters, the elite of the elites, want to worry about legacy and want to worry about, like, where they fall into the greatest of all time.
Yeah, and by the way, the reason I got onto this is Dak Prescott recently said, he's like, I don't care about the money. I don't play for the money.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I believe that. Like, I believe that. I mean, I do think there's a certain point where you're like, you've come numb to the money.
Sure.
I mean, we're talking so much money for these guys. Like, he's already made a bunch of money. And sure, you can get different kind of wealth and other things. Like, there is something to that. But I do think when these guys are like, yeah, I don't, whatever. Like, he probably doesn't, he gets to the point, Dak Prescott probably doesn't even look at his check.
Yeah,
right?
Probably not. But I also guarantee that Dak Prescott wants to get paid pretty handsomely just so he can say this team wants me.
Yeah, there's other things, as you say, like, what does the money say?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I agree with you there. But I wonder where this falls in, again, with Trevor. Trevor's going to shift here in a big way. He's going to go from making $37 million over 4 years of his rookie contract to where he's going to make, you know, some crazy amount of money. And when you do that, that puts you in a world where you can do anything. You know, I mean, you can do a lot of different things, and it starts to... even if it's your wife helping you out or family members helping you out, it takes some of your attention away. It's like, okay, what should you do? I don't think a lot of these guys just put that away and be like, okay, I'll deal with that in 15 years.
No, for sure. It'll be like, listen, obviously we're going to watch this with a microscope because, you know, we cover the Jacksonville Jaguars and we're local here. So, like, every move that Trevor Lawrence makes, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's on his own personal Instagram, like, we'll talk about and we'll break down and we're going to dissect. But at the end of the day, regardless of how much money he makes, I mean, you're going to find out where his priorities are. And you're going to find out the hierarchy of his belief system in terms of, well, do you want to be great? Do you want to be one of the best to ever do it? Do you want to win a Super Bowl here in Jacksonville? Or are you worried about money? Are you worried about investing and things like that? And I'm going to take the former until proven wrong, but I do think he wants to be a great quarterback. I do think he cares about legacy, and I do think he cares about, obviously, winning a championship here in Jacksonville.
Yeah, and I think just to echo your point from before, I think the 1% athlete is totally different than, like, just general think. I agree with you. I think that legacy does matter. I think that you're where you fit in the game, like where you, these guys have great perspective on that. I'm not sure everybody always had the perspective on, like, where they fit in the history of the game, right? But I think the newness of great athletes, like the Tiger Woods era, the LeBron James chasing down, even in the conversation of Michael Jordan's and Kobe Bryant's being able to do it, and now most recently Tom Brady and what we're seeing with Patrick Mahomes, I think it sheds different light on where your place is in history. You don't have to go back to Mickey Mantle and Babe Ruth you know, guys that played hundreds of years ago to kind of know, hey, We actually know where the history books are writing right now as we speak. I think that gives you a little bit of a sense of that. We used to ask players, hey, do you know the history of the game, or do you know this or that? I think these guys have a great understanding, especially at the quarterback position in the NFL, because they're like rewriting the books almost every year.
Of course. Yeah.
Which and you did say something else, Trevor. The one thing about it, one thing I hear in the building a lot, and one thing in interviews that you hear a lot, and this was moderately questioned when he came out because of an SI article, mm-hmm. is that he does want to be great.
Sure.
Like, and that's a cool thing to hear, like, because he's got the skill set. Mm-hmm. So that means you're going to put the work in. And I think it's a good thing to see from Doug and everybody else. Again, he's been around those guys that want to be great. Does this guy have those qualities that says, yeah, I want to be? A lot of people want to be good. Mm-hmm. Not everybody wants to be great. It takes a different level of work to be great.
Yeah, and great is such just a thrown around term now, and, you know, mediocrity can even fall into great sometimes. But, like, listen, the great ones, like Peyton Manning, there's a reason why Peyton Manning was as great as he was. And, yeah, maybe he wasn't blessed with the most athleticism. Yeah, you see him take off on a 10-yard scramble, it didn't look the prettiest. But that guy put more work in before practice, during practice, after practice, than anybody, I think, of his era, you know? And, like, once again, like, Tom Brady was in a good situation, right? And he had a great coach, but Tom Brady's the ultimate competitor. He had a chip on his shoulder, and that greatness shined through. But, like, with Peyton Manning, man, like, Peyton Manning put the hours beyond hours beyond hours in that people never saw. And when it came time to play in a game, whether it was audibles, whether it was defensive recognition, nobody did it better than Peyton Manning. So it goes to show you that if you want to be great, if you want to be a top five quarterback, elite quarterback, it's there for you, Trevor. You just got to put the work in.
Yeah, and it'll be. I say this all the time. If you want to be that kind of great, you got to be selfish. Mm-hmm. There's a selfishness to being great. And are you willing to go there? Which is also a step I think you have to take. Step we have to take is one to break. We take a break from Best Bet Jacksonville here on a Memorial Day weekend, getting it rolling on a Friday. Hope you're doing well and heading into the weekend, maybe even a little bit early. If you want to stop on by, you can do so. Grab some lunch with us here at Best Bet Jacksonville on Monument Road. We continue to talk some ball, talk a little Jacksonville Armada. Hope to have Jonathan Papelbon join us in just a little bit and get some fun topics along the way here on a Friday. That's coming up next from Best Bet Jacksonville. And don't forget the Armada on Action News Jacks app and the ActionNewsJacks.com website. Tomorrow, 5 o'clock, 4:30, the coverage begins as the U23 women's team takes the home pitch for the first time. And that will happen right here on the Action Sports Jacks 24/7 Network.
Welcome back to the Brent and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jacks 24/7 Network.
Hey, welcome back to Best Bet Jacksonville, and down in St. Augustine, too. They got the Poker Atlas Tour coming up May 26th, 28th, 29th. So there's all the information on how you get into that, bestbetjacks.com. And we were just talking to Artley, and also they've got the event that will wrap up on Monday evening, and they'll have you at this final table. So how about that? And it's televised also on the Facebook channel and the YouTube channel. So we're looking forward to that. You can check it out. Maybe someday we'll have it on the Action Sports Shacks 24/7 network. Brent Martineau, Austin Lane, Jacksonville Armada will play with the women's team coming up on Saturday at 5 o'clock, 4:30 is the pregame festivities. It'll take you to a little bit after 7 o'clock and hopefully a W for the women. And they just got a win just the other day. Nick, I feel like Coach Goff is joining us here momentarily. You let us know and give us an update when you can if he is ready to go. All right, so let's get to Coach David Goff right now, and he joins us. Yeah, there he is. We see him. We're at Best Bet Jacks. Coach, sorry, we never know if this is going to work until we actually see if it works, but good to have you on, and good luck tomorrow at JU as you guys have your home debut. Kind of exciting for the women's squad.
Yeah, thanks so much for the invite. I'm really excited to be here. It's been a great week. So, excitement everywhere, and it's nearly here. Yeah.
I don't know if anybody can tell, but you're not from Jacksonville. you made your coaching, circles all across really the United States too, and obviously back home for you in Wales. But what's this stop been like so far as you guys launch this new program?
Yeah, Jacksonville is home for me. We moved to the United States 10 years ago. We've lived in a couple of different places, Oklahoma, Arkansas, but two stints in Jacksonville. We came back about a year ago. This is the place that's felt most like home. So super excited to be here. Yeah.
Coach, tell us about your team a little bit and what kind of style you guys hoping to implement for this up and coming season.
Well, I think the most important thing is to say it's going to be exciting. Whether you're a soccer fan of a number of years, whether you've been following the team for the past decade, or whether you've never been to a game, we understand our remit. We want to get people on the edge of their seats. So we've been training all week. It's been fun. It's been electric. There's going to be a few things that you might not have seen before, but ultimately everybody who comes is going to leave saying, wow, I want to come back and see a bit more. That's what we're about.
Yeah, some things we haven't seen before. I kind of like
that's
that.
That's a tease right there.
Can you not give that up right now? I mean, is that a tactical disadvantage if you tell us that?
Yeah, I won't give it up, but I'll say don't miss the kickoff. You know, we want to be there from the start.
And, okay.
You know, get in your seat early. Our fans are the best fans in North Florida. Section 904, they're right there hours before singing, banging drums, huge flags being waved. It's an unbelievable atmosphere. So we can't wait to go.
The Armada going to play on our Action Sports Jax 24/7 network, but they're right over there at Jacksonville University too. So hopefully you can get over to the match 5 o'clock. And if you can't, you can watch it on the network on actionnewsjax.com and the Action News Jax app. What did you learn from your squad with the win last week?
Well, I mean, it's nice to get a game under our belt. I got to be honest. Huge respect to Prime. They've got a good program down there. Did very well last year. And, you know, you never quite know until the rubber hits the road, do you? So a lot of training and a lot of preparation, but we started really strong. We scored early. We followed that up with another. Paige McSwiggan, local player, getting the first goal in franchise history. Amazing. Great story for her and her family and everybody involved with the club. So we kind of built on that momentum, and by the end of it, we were a little bit out on our feet because of the excitement, but great 3-0 win. Couldn't ask for any more.
Hey, Stuart Weber is our expert, of course, when it comes to the soccer, but educate us a little bit. You just mentioned you have like a mix of some local and players from outside the country on this roster. How does that come together?
Well, when you start a franchise brand new on the women's side anyway, there's a great opportunity. You kind of have a framework, but you can do pretty much what you want. And what we wanted to start with were the most talented, most dedicated players from the local area. So we feel like we've got them. Not just the college players who are away playing and have come back for the summer. It's amazing for them because their family and friends get to come and watch and be around them, whereas maybe they can't in their college season. But what I'm really excited about is the up-and-coming players that we have. We have a group of 7 or 8 players who are still in high school or about to go to college who are with us right now, who are going to be the future of this program. And they'll be household names in a few years, and they're already with us now. So we believe we have the most talented, dedicated players who are serious about soccer with ties to this region. And we want to showcase them. We want to get them out there and give them an opportunity.
Coach, when we talk about, you know, your tenure at Oklahoma, you had a lot of success there, helped, you know, kind of turn their program into a new echelon. And now you go with professionally. I mean, you know, having played in the NFL, we always say like college coaches that come from college football to the NFL, you have to change up your whole style. You have to change up your personality a little bit. Do you find that same thing in the sport of soccer as well when you come from college to the professionals, or do you kind of maintain some of those same values that you had at the college
level?
Yeah,
I think you're absolutely right. I think there's a huge jump to the professional level, and we're starting to see now in women's soccer especially, we're even seeing the most talented players miss out on college altogether and go straight to the pros. So that's never happened before. That's a recent kind of last 2 or 3 years thing. But for me, spending all my life in professional football, international football, and being very fortunate to come up through the Welsh FA system. And, you know, it's about keeping a little bit of that, you know, core stuff that's important in terms of being an elite athlete. But you do have to bend and flex. You know, these are student athletes in the main. They have their studies come first, which they should. And they're trying to dedicate their lives to become a professional secondly. So you do have to bend and flex. But ultimately, you know, high performers are high performers. These girls, they really want to be all they can be in the classroom and on the field. And for me, that's like an iPhone charger. That's like plugging into the wall and off we go every single day. You know, it's much easier when you have players around you who want to be all they can be, for sure.
Coach David Goff with us here on the Brett and Austin Show on the Action Sports Shacks 24/7 Network. You can watch the Armada women's team play tomorrow at Jacksonville University or right here on the network. 5 o'clock match starts, and don't miss it, according to Coach Goff, by the way. 4:30 pregame festivities begin. You know, you think about this area in soccer, and you know, we know it pretty well from just covering it between Bartram Trail and Creekside and St. John's Country Day on the high school level. From Florida and Florida State has become such a national power on the women's scene. I mean, the soccer just here in this region is got to be some of the best in the country, but it's really good, isn't it?
There's absolutely no doubt, and we are standing on the make no bones about it. We are standing on the shoulders of people who've been in this region for 30, 40 years, you know, dedicating their lives to this game and the growth and development of this game, and we appreciate and thank every one of them. Now that we're bringing professional soccer on the men's and women's side, hopefully to Jacksonville, we are kind of layering the cherry on the cake, if you like. But a lot of work has gone before us. And there are unbelievable soccer networks, great youth clubs, and fantastic support for soccer all across our state, not just here in the north. So, you know, you only have to look down south to Messi coming to play it into Miami. I mean, you can go as high as you want with this stuff. Mm. We are ready and primed, and the state wants top soccer. FSU been, you know, national champions, ranked number one for a long time, as you say. And the Gators are coming back to prominence as well. So I think for us, for soccer fans, this is a great, great time, the right place to be. And we're right here in the middle of it at the Armada.
Yeah, it's one last thing, and then we'll let you run. But it's in our sports landscape right now. We've been talking a lot on the show about what Caitlin Clark has done for women's basketball. But whenever I mention that, and we have especially women's coaches on, we're like, hey, there's a boom going on for women's sports in general. It's probably been manifesting for a while, but it's really going on with flag football. You know, I have a daughter who plays softball. That sport has boomed. It's on TV. It's all over the place, right? So women's basketball, what they just did, and what Caitlin Clark's doing in the WNBA. But ironically enough, your sport has been kind of the one sport, maybe outside of like tennis, where from an American sports fan perspective, the women have been more interesting than the men at times, you know, or at least more popular. Like, I don't know, I say interesting, maybe that's a bad phrase, but more popular. That you don't find that in the United States very often. You do maybe with gymnastics and figure skating in the Olympics,
sure.
And maybe in very small pockets. But in soccer, it's always been the U.S. women's national team, even more so than the men's national team. That's got to be a great starting ground, or not starting ground, but jumping off point, that you already know that base is there when it comes to women's soccer in the States.
Absolutely. Look, everyone around the world is in envy of the American system and then the women's national team, and especially, you know, up until this year, obviously double world champions, two World Cups in a row. And for me, you know, working with the England national team and going to the World Cup in 2015, it was a huge draw for me to come to the States and be in women's soccer here. And you're quite right. Look, I was at Oklahoma, you know, softball rules, football rules. Like, I've got to learn from a lot of these coaches in these female sports. They're a huge inspiration to me. You know, the female basketball coaches, as you mentioned, the softball coaches. And I think you're absolutely right. It's a special moment. It's a special moment for women's sports. It's a special moment for women's professional sports. And in America, you can grow up a young girl dreaming of being on the television, and you can see it happen. That's not always been the case around the world, certainly not the case in Wales when I left 10 years ago. So, you know, for my daughters and for everybody out there, this is an amazing, amazing opportunity. And you can do it. You can do it here in America in women's sports.
You can do it right here in Jacksonville with the Jacksonville Armada as well. And Coach David Goff, appreciate you. Good luck in the home debut tomorrow. Thanks for taking a few minutes, and we'll be looking forward to it.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks very much.
All right, that is David Goff. Good luck to him and the Armada U23 women's team as they make their home debut at JU tomorrow. Again, 5 o'clock match. The specifics, though, if you can't get there, you can watch it on the Action Sports Shacks 24/7 network. By the way, this has done very well so far with the Armada men's matches. We're going to continue to put more programming on the network, and we're looking forward to tomorrow's match, of course, on the women's side. You can find it on ActionNewsShacks.com. You can find it on the Action News Shacks app. And what we've been doing is replaying it as well on Sunday for those who are at the match or can't lock in at 5 o'clock. Replay a few different times on Sunday, and probably even with the holiday weekend, I think we might even do it on Monday as well. So you can find the Jacksonville Armada, men and women, on the Action Sports Jacks 24/7 network. Let's take a break. When we come back from Best Bet Jacksonville, still got another hour and change to go and some fun topics on the horizon. And maybe we chat with former Red Sox, Phillies, and Nationals closer and Bishop Kenny star, Jonathan Papelbon, scheduled to join us in the 12 o'clock hour as well. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Brett and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jacks 24/7 network.
Hey, welcome back to Best Bet Jacksonville on Monument Road. Good to be here. Usually down at St. Augustine location. Got around to this location, a little closer to home, more of a home game near the studios. And good to be hanging here on a what looks to be a very busy Friday, late morning, early afternoon. It's hopping here as we've got some tournament action. And again, mentioned that the tournament will be played on their Facebook and YouTube channels on Monday evening on the final table. You'll be able to witness it all, everything that goes on leading up to that Monday evening. But certainly hopping here in Jacksonville on Monument Road. We never show you that kind of part of it. Like, we're in a good spot, but we can see it all. And there's a bunch of folks here. So come join the fun and say hello to us when you do that. Brent Martineau, Austin Lane, Brent and Austin Show, part of the Action Sports Shacks 24/7 network. Once again, we won't be having a show on Monday, taking the holiday off. We will actually have some interesting programming coming up in June where we'll go the first 2 weeks with the show, and then kind of like we used to do, we'll take a couple week hiatus right around that summer, late June time, and then ramp it back up heading into football season in July. But we will have some other things on the network. The network doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. So we got to fill some of that stuff up, even if we're not filling the airwaves.
Correct.
So we'll make sure we do that for you and your viewing pleasure along the way. You brought up a topic when I say, hey, what do you got going on today? You got anything good? And I did not know that you would go to the world of gymnastics.
Yeah, man, it was a trending topic.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, man, you have to go on Twitter every once in a while. You know, Brent?
Yes.
Ever heard of it?
Things that
have, you ever been on there? Ever posted
have,
on there?
Have not been mentioned to me very much over the years like that.
Yeah, for sure. But no, you're talking about...
Come on, let's go. Who's going to say her name the best?
Okay, you want to start off first?
Yeah. I want Nick to have to do this, especially since he's cracking Garth Brooks jokes back
okay,
there.
Okay, okay.
He's the one that should have to say her name. You try.
No, me or
yeah,
Nick?
Nick doesn't even have it.
Okay,
pulled
okay. So I'm gonna go with Oksana Chuvatsin-Tendina. Oksana Chuvatsin-Tendina.
I think we got the Oksana part. Oksana Chusavatnia.
Okay.
Chusavatnia. That's not it. We're missing like a syllable in there. Vitina at the end. Chusavatina.
Okay. Or do you not even, maybe you don't even pronounce the CH. Maybe it's...
Shusavtavina.
Okay.
All right.
Can we call her Oksana?
I think we're just going to go with Oksana.
It's like Oksana Bayul?
Yeah, this is like a Jason Hamby math problem.
Now we're talking.
She's from Uzbekistan.
She is. And she is 48 years old, and she has been competing in the Olympics since she was 17 back in 1992 in Barcelona.
It's unbelievable.
Now, it'd be one thing if she's like, you know, she does fencing or she does like horseback riding. Like, okay, yeah, you have longevity. No, like this girl from Uzbekistan is a gymnast. And unfortunately, she will be missing her first Olympics. You know, in a long time since 92, because she unfortunately got hurt and is going to be out of like the worlds, as they call it, so she can't qualify for the Olympics.
Has she set like a Guinness Book of World Records for the amount of Olympics she's been in? I mean, had to have, right?
I feel like she's up there for sure, Brent. And once again, like, it's one thing if it's like an easy, like, we're talking about a gymnast. You know how physically taxing and mentally exhausting being a gymnast has to be? I can't imagine.
Well, the crazy part is, like, gymnasts retire at, like, age 28.
Yeah.
Sometimes maybe 30.
Yep.
Right?
So she's represented the Soviet Union, Uzbekistan, and Germany over the course of her lengthy career, and is one of only 18 Olympians ever to compete in 8 different games.
So there have been 18 of them?
Yeah, but once again, I think you have to take into account, like, the sports that are a little more, like, easy on your body.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, like, I mean, maybe fencing is easy on your body.
Equestrian,
I don't know.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still stunned though that 18 people have had participated in 8 Olympics
in 18 different games. Yeah,
I mean, that's wild. Like, a lot of people say, like, there's this kid, Christian Miller, right?
Yeah.
Out of Creekside High School, that's the number one junior sprinter in the world right now. He's got 9.93, which is Olympic good.
Yep.
He's going to go to the Olympic trials or try to and all that process. But we were wondering, it's like at 17 years old, which I think he's 17, if he were to make the Olympics, then he would have a chance to maybe get to like 3 of them.
Yep.
Right? I mean, if you do the math, because you can still, like, Usain Bolt, I think, might have still been cooking in his early 30s. But you run out. You run out of time. So to make 8 Olympics is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
When they're coming around every 4 years. So, and you said 3 different countries, which is also pretty wild.
Very wild.
You can even represent 3 different countries.
Yes.
So, wild story today.
I'm looking it up right now in terms of like what sports and everything, but it's kind of hard to decipher here.
That's pretty cool. Like that, you know, to make the Olympics once is unbelievable.
Yes.
And now what we've done is we've tilted the scale a little bit to be like, oh, you got to be Michael Phelps, right? Or we talked to Ryan Murphy from Jackson on the show, or Caleb Dressel, or these guys participating in multiple, or Usain Bolt. Like, it's not good enough, right?
Yes.
It's like one's not good enough. Well, certainly it's good enough. It's unbelievable. But to put your name with only 17 other people in the history of the games is pretty remarkable.
Instance, there's a guy named Ian Miller out of Canada. And he has been in 10 Olympic Games.
Really?
40 years competing. But he's an equestrian. He's in like...
You were right about that.
Yeah, he's in like... show jumping, they call it. Horses, yeah. Just
he's in horses, says Nick. Yes, that's equestrian, Nick. We know what equestrian is.
We are aware of what
you seriously didn't think we knew what equestrian was?
Nick, so when I said equestrian, you thought like it was like water polo or something, and you had to correct me? Okay, that's cool. You know, get a little more cultured, I guess.
Nick has no respect for us. I mean, he's got no respect for
us. I literally pull up the fancy term of equestrian, and Nick goes, no, actually, it's horses. It's horses.
Horses. It's horses.
Hey, Nick, I hate to tell you, man, but I'm sure this guy was a flag bearer. When they announced him coming in from Canada, they weren't saying, hey, this guy, Mr. Miller, horses. Like, they didn't announce it like that. It was equestrian. So, yes. So, needless to say, equestrian horses, same thing. We have kayakers, Brent, are big. The first woman to compete in 8 Olympic Games was actually... It was a girl from Italy and Germany. Okay? Not going to even attempt the name. But, yeah, so needless to say, like I said, you have kayaking, equestrian horses.
Horses.
To the layman's. But very rarely, I think, do you get like a high, like... You know, intensity sport, like a
gymnast. I mean, honestly, if you look at this lady, she looks 48.
Sure.
And still competing.
Well, she looks
pretty crazy.
I mean, yeah. She's ripped, so.
I mean, it's pretty wild. So, congratulations, sir.
Can you imagine dedicate so much time? Like, I get maybe, like, Uzbekistan is not, it's like the level of gymnastics as, like, a Simone Biles and
you. Well, that's true. So, yeah.
But it's still,
how many are representing, right?
Sure, but it's still, like, competing at the highest of levels and having to win worlds and stuff at gymnastics. Like, imagine dedicating that much of your life to, that's wild.
Pretty impressive. Horses. So 18 was the magic number there, which is just wild. That's baffling to me that I don't care if it's horses or not. I mean, it's still baffling that you would perform at the top of your game for that long. And especially in one that maybe isn't as physically fit because there are more people that might be doing it, right, and can do it.
Yeah, Brent, if you were to start right now, say, you know, you just got tired of sports, you want to do something new, you want to win Olympic medal, what do you feel like you would have the best shot at? And let's stick with the Summer Olympics vibe right now, you know, because we're Summer Olympics coming up. What are you confident in that you could bring home a medal for your country here?
Okay, so here's the Olympic sports.
Hit me with them.
Swimming, soccer.
Swimming? I mean, you're a swimmer? But you're not that good of a swimmer, huh?
I was a swimmer, but I couldn't be that.
Yeah,
I wasn't that good.
Okay.
Volleyball, golf. Mm. I'm not that good enough to be golf.
Sure.
Rowing, fencing, no interest. Soccer, no. I'm going to come back to this one because maybe that would be it. Water polo would be awesome. I wish we had water polo as a sport. Some places down here they did. In high school, I wish we had it.
Are you good at treading water?
Yeah, I could have done that.
I'd struggle.
No, I mean, it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. I just say
But at least it's more of a team sport, so you can kind of
But it's fun to watch, too. It's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Fun to play. Mm-hmm. Judo, no. Tennis, no. Handball, no. Weightlifting, definitely not. Badminton, now. You ever play badminton? Badminton's way more fun.
I was in gym class when I was a child.
I played badminton. And I killed it in gym class in badminton. That was fun, though.
But I'm just saying, have you watched like professional badminton?
Yeah, I know. It's nuts.
Oh, that's pretty.
It's the same as I was going to say, is table tennis. It's like,
true.
I could play a little table tennis, but I can't. Not with those guys.
You play the top ranked in the world, then it's a different story.
Yeah, so I couldn't in any of these, or I would if I could.
Sure.
So boxing, no. Shooting, no. Archery, no. Track and field, no. Modern pentathlon, as opposed to the old one, I guess.
Okay.
Surfing. Artistic swimming.
Okay, Brent. Wrestling. Do you have the creativity?
No.
Okay.
Used to dive a little bit, but not to that level.
Yep.
Gymnastics, no. Basketball, equestrian. Maybe it
horses.
Is. I've actually ridden horses before. Maybe it will be equestrian. Maybe I've done the horses. That's actually one where I fit the most. Artistic gymnastics, canoe sprint, rhythmic gymnastics. How many gymnastics do we need? Rugby union, canoe slalom.
Oh, no way. You confident with that? Dude, you know how hard it is
like between the flags?
Yeah, but you got to think about like having that oar paddle. Yeah, the oar.
Do you guys watch this stuff in the Olympics? Like, do I just not watch the Olympics?
So I'm not going to lie, man. Me and my friends back home, we're big in the Olympics, so we'll watch everything.
Really?
Yeah, and then we just like to like live text each other during every single event. So, yeah, we'll watch everything.
Cross country, no, is the worst thing I ever did in my life.
Yeah, hard.
Beach volleyball would be great. Greco-Roman wrestling, no.
Mm.
What is this?
What do you got?
Basque pelota? Is that like Hailai or cricket?
Yeah, I'm not glad. I've never heard of that. I've never seen that.
It looks like a little cricket.
It looks like cricket mixed with Hailai, yeah.
So anyway,
breakdancing? Isn't breakdancing going to be an event, too?
Maybe. Maybe I don't have the new list in front of me.
Yeah. Skateboarding's up there, too?
Do they have all the X Games stuff at the Olympics now?
They don't have all the X Games, but I know skateboarding is the Olympic sport. So, Brent, you can't confident with that. I mean,
none of them.
Well, you know they have power, like speed walking. Seriously.
Speed walking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's. I mean, honestly, if it's up to me, I might be looking to, because I got the length.
I actually do walk fast to begin with.
Okay.
Like, family can't keep up with me.
Sure. Now, how are your hips? Because I feel like it's a lot of hips.
Yeah, right now, everything's not good.
Oof.
But I have to get in shape.
Start doing some yoga, then get you in the 2000 whatever Olympics coming up.
It's amazing what people put in to do the. I mean, I get the younger person, but as you get older, to still be qualifying for this kind of stuff, the amount of dedication it takes.
But see, like, no, I
seriously wanted to swim. When I was a kid, like, I swam a ton.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I was a kid, like, the Olympics were such a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I remember thinking when I was, like, 6, 7, 8 years old, because actually when I was at that age, I was actually taking home a lot of first place blue ribbons.
Sure.
Because length didn't matter at that time.
Yeah.
But as you get a little older, I wasn't growing as fast as everybody else was.
Size matters. Becomes, just ask Trent Baalke.
Trent Baalke, as a swimmer, he wouldn't have recruited me. And so, but in that time frame, I remember swimming in the summer, and I was like doing the winter swim and everything else. And I was like, I want one of those like white USA track suits.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Like that thing was like
on
my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wanted to be that guy on the podium.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I don't know when the dream died, like probably at 8 and a half. But I just remember thinking that, like, this, I would love to swim in the Olympics. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't like I want to play baseball in the big leagues.
Yep.
It was I want to swim in the Olympics. The Olympics at that time, I mean, I would have been like, that would have been 1984.
Yeah.
So I would have been, I mean, that's prime time, Olympic 84, 88, like those kind of years. The Olympics were so big.
Yeah.
They're just not as big anymore. I mean, not to diminish it. It's still an unbelievable accomplishment. I just don't think we as a public view it.
Yes.
At least in the States. As big as we used to.
So you're going to have two new events taking part in this 2024 Olympics, and you're looking at breakdancing is going to be one of them.
So it is.
And then kayak cross.
So that's another flip on kayaking. Yeah. So there's three different kayaking.
Yeah.
Or canoe. I'm sorry. Some of these were canoe.
Yeah, for sure. Do you know how crazy... Wait, is kayak cross? Is that what I think it is?
I don't know.
They're going to like... Okay, you know like motocross? Like where they race down a hill?
Oh, yeah.
Is it going to be like... That's what it is, right? There's going to be like a big hill and people on kayaks and pushing each other and stuff?
Kayak cross, Brent, give it to us. What does it look like?
Oh, absolutely, Brent! Oh!
You're getting excited here.
To kind of set the scene for people just listening at home, imagine like a starting gate like of like a BMX race
yep.
or like a starting gate of like a motocross race. And that's what's taking place here in Kayak Cross. So basically, it's like BMX racing with kayaks.
So you
and
dive in.
You dive in. I mean, you're taking paddles to the face.
So basically, it's like a rapids.
Yeah, it's like a traditional kayaking obstacle course. But now, instead of just one person trying to complete it with the fastest time, you have four people out for blood with paddles a flailing.
By the way, this looks hard as hell.
Yeah.
This looks hard.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are working.
Yeah. And it's like in downtown Jacksonville, they have, like, this setup where it's just, like, a bunch of, like, it's in the middle of the street.
It's like, it's like they just man-made it.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It's man-made.
Oh, this is cool, Brent.
It's pretty good. It's pretty fun.
And then breakdancing, I mean, you know what breakdancing is. That's going to be cool.
I used to breakdance as a kid, too.
That's cool.
Did you really? Very good, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Breakdancing was big back then.
Do you have any video of you breakdancing?
I don't think so.
I wish we did.
Back then. Yeah.
Dang
it. It wouldn't have been very good.
All right.
Nick, we're going to take a break. How about we do that a little bit later than expected? But we'll do it when we come back. We got an hour to go. Interesting NFL stat I just saw. And we'll clue you in on that part of the discussion coming up still. And a little NBA slam poetry. Might be your last one. Or I just got a couple more left in.
I saw some in the chamber, Brent. Come on now.
Celtics now taking over that series up to Love, heading into game three, going back to Indiana. We'll take a break on the Brent and Austin Show. We're live at Best Bet Jacksonville, and we are going to train after this show for Kayak Cross.
Let's go.
It's the new event.
Let's go.
We'll take anybody else on. Bulls and Mandarin playing in a spring football game. Nothing more overrated from a coverage standpoint than a spring football game, but we go to them anyway. We love football around here, and these are two of the elite teams, of course, in the area that hopefully will make another state championship run, and a lot of talent on the field last night at Mandarin High School.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.